Yes.
All right, item number two, modify or adopt the agenda. Any modifications suggested for the agenda today?
Move to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Item three, modify or adopt the minutes from the December 18th, 2025 meeting. Any modifications, questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. All right, item number four, announcements. Any announcements from the members?
Sorry, who is the second on the minutes? Matthew?
No, I think Alex.
Oh, okay, Alex, all right.
Yeah, sorry. Item four, announcements. Any announcements? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item five, public appearances. Does not appear as if anybody from the public is present. All right, so we'll move on to item number six, discussion regarding Webster Avenue Road reconstruction project. I'll turn that over to Trevor or Sean.
Sure. We can get started. I wanted to pull up a few historical documents that we've been working off of. So up here is something the county put together for us several years ago, back in 2022. So the timeline doesn't necessarily isn't necessarily the same anymore. But what's important to look at is maybe the sections might be similar as far as when the timing is of the road projects. So when we're talking about Webster Avenue, it's a county road. So the village would be responsible for 50% of the reconstruction costs of the road, 50% of the storm, and then any water and sewer the village would pay for. We'd be breaking it up in three different sections.
Excuse me, Trevor. The water and sewer village are responsible for 100, or is that also a 50-50?
100%.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
We would be breaking it up in likely three different sections. There would be the area probably south of Hoffman, in or around Hoffman. So you can see County Highway XX. And then there would be the segment that is just north of that, through the 172 interchange, and then likely up to Alloway Avenue, which is another county road, County Trunk Highway O. And then there'd be the section north of that. Several reasons for kind of breaking that up in that way. The scale of the project would be number one. Number two is likely different funding sources for different segments. So the area in orange, that area is within our TIF district, and I think we talked about that at a previous meeting, that our expenditure period, it goes through 2034, right, Julie?
2033, I believe, but it's just to get the debt incurred.
Yeah. So timing-wise, if we're looking at getting on the county's CIP plan, which I think we are to some degree. Typically, they plan out 6 years. So that's kind of where we're at with the time frame. That area in orange is identified in our TIF project plan as an eligible project, meaning we could fund upwards of 50% of that project, knowing that the county would pay the other 50% through the TIF. We could also fund the infrastructure improvements as well, the underground infrastructure, so water and sewer. Our hope would be that we'd be eligible for some grants that would offset that cost, so the TIF wouldn't be paying for the full 100% of the village portion. And then going through the blue and red section, the hope would be that that is coupled with maybe a DOT project, perhaps. And then south in that purple section, sounds like the pier would like to redo their section too, so that might actually extend all the way down to George Street, or would be Chicago.
Chicago.
Okay. So those are the different sections, Sean has provided a handout kind of looking at the typical cross sections of each section. We've been talking about this for quite some time. Back in 2017, we asked Grafe to work with the county and put together a typical cross section of what they would allow. At that time, they had a standard typical cross section of roadway that the county liked to use and wanted to use. Why that gave the village some heartburn is because the right of way in this, in most of Webster, is around 80 feet. You can see this typical cross section was 92 feet. So we're having to pick up 12 feet of right of way along that entire corridor. If you travel that corridor, you see, like, if you just go by, say, Purveyor's parking lot, go 12 feet into that, you're losing a lot of parking spaces. Go further north, you go to Subway, you're right up next to that building, Lorelei, you know. But then even if you go into the residential sections, and you're having to move a lot of utility poles that otherwise, if we stay within the current right-of-way, that we wouldn't have to incur that cost. So why we took pause with this, because of that additional cost that came with moving things like right-of-way lines and acquiring property, but also moving utility poles that wouldn't otherwise have to be moved. So when you're talking about having to pay 50% of a large ticket, all these dollar signs start adding up. So that was what Grafe provided again for us back in 2017, and that was just something that we didn't want to necessarily go down that road of.
Trevor, were they proposing that for the entire stretch, or did they have different designs proposed for different sections?
What we had Grafe just look at is everything north, I think, of Alloway Avenue. Again, knowing that was going to be a TIF eligible expense. I think we've since learned that the utilities underneath the road and the entire length are in poor condition.
They're north of 172, they're in poor to fair condition. Yeah. South of 172, I would say they're in fair to good. Overall, the storm sewer needs to be removed and replaced. It was last improved in 1974. It's at the end of its life. We have replaced sections of the water main and sanitary sewer from the pier north towards 172. There are a lot of private utilities as well in this corridor. Trevor had mentioned private utilities on the east side for the entire stretch of the roadway. There are overhead lines, utility poles, in easement. So if we were looking to widen the existing roadway, we would have to possibly move those utility poles, and that would be extremely expensive.
Yeah. The other thing to keep in mind is this is a five-lane configuration today. A three-lane configuration, so if we're looking at a road diet, we can operate within the existing right-of-way. A three-lane configuration could, in theory, I guess, handle the amount of traffic on this entire corridor. A three-lane configuration can go up to 25,000 cars a day. When you're down near 172, you're around 18,000 cars a day. That's the highest. When you go further towards the pier, you're at, I think, 11 or 12. And when you go north by, like, Purveyor Clinic, you're around 14,000 cars a day. Knowing the areas north and south of here, there's really not a ton of area to grow, so I think it's pretty safe to assume, you know, there might be some infill developments here or there, but it might be safe to assume that the road traffic today is going to be at or around where it's going to be at in the future. Maybe, I don't know, that's my assumption, but so I think, you know, again, looking at a five-lane configuration to possibly three in some of the areas would make sense. And it would save the village a lot of money, village and county, a lot of money.
So looking at this, is the most dramatic change on the furthest north end here, where you see the two lanes and a bike lane and a median?
Right.
And where currently it's two lanes.
Yeah, Sean, I don't know if you want to kind of go through that a little bit.
You know, just recently I worked with a consultant to put together this exhibit. Trevor just roughly ran through our proposed plan. Keep in mind, again, this is a county highway. We have discussed this with numerous highway commissioners, first Paul and now Chris. Most recently, we provided this plan to Chris June of last year. And then about a month and a half after that, then I provided it to not only the highway commissioner, but the DOT as well. They were very receptive to what we're proposing. But again, this is just concept, and that's why I labeled the plan draft. When Chris left last summer after we met with him, he said that he was going to sit down with staff and start to crunch numbers for what is being proposed on this plan. But from south to north, we're looking to build a three-lane section, one lane in each direction, median with left turn lane. That will provide us space on the outside for amenities. It would provide a buffer between sidewalk and traffic. That terrace width would allow for adequate snow storage, trees, other amenities. I know that the Griff plan had suggested benches, signs, landscaping. We also looked, one of the other goals was, let's add a bike lane in each direction. So that section in yellow down at the bottom, three lane, one lane in the northbound direction, one in the south, bike lanes on the outside, median with left turn lane, terrace, six feet, and then sidewalk. As Trevor had indicated, that section can carry somewhere between 10 and 30,000 vehicles a day. The ADT is shown on this exhibit, south of Broadview Drive, between Hoffman, the ADT is around 13,000, but south of Hoffman, it drops off to 9,000. We feel that that section would fit in that area, it would carry the traffic today and in the future, and it would fit that area well. The land use in that area is predominantly residential. It would also calm traffic to slow traffic down a little bit. As we work north, north of Broadview Drive, between Broadview Drive and Green Avenue, that project is tied to the reconstruction of the interchange. And that would be designed and constructed by the DOT. They're looking at multiple options for the replacement of that interchange. I would assume that they would need a five-lane section to carry the traffic there. The traffic is greater. It's close to 17,000 vehicles a day. We're proposing a five-lane section, two northbound, two southbound, leading with left turn lane. North of Green Avenue, between Green Avenue and Alloway Avenue, again, we're looking to put the roadway on a diet to create space on the outside for the amenities that I just talked about, create a buffer between the sidewalk and traffic.
So greenery would move from the median to the outside of the roads. Like I'm thinking between.
Yes, good. Yes. Yeah. Between Green and Alloway Avenue, we're looking to get rid of the median in the middle of the roadway and create space on the outside.
Okay.
To accommodate bike lanes, terrace.
Yeah.
So think about the area in Green Bay, north of Grignon.
Okay.
It's a four-lane configuration with the terrace. I mean, there would be added bike lane there, but yeah.
We would create space on the outside. We would avoid having to purchase right-of-way. Okay. And purchasing right-of-way on this entire corridor would be a challenge because it's fully developed.
Yep.
Not only is it fully developed, but these residential properties are built right up to the roadway. In some cases, there are retaining walls. You guys have noticed those old block stone cobbled walls.
Yeah.
They're falling in. This project would work to address that as well. We would a retaining wall 2 feet or less, we would look just to grade back, get a temporary limited easement for grading. A wall 2 feet and greater, we would look to replace with a cast in place core wall.
Is that something like on Green Street, like you did there, like in spots?
That's a modular
block
wall. You know, again, this would be the county's going to have a lot to say in how we improve it.
Sure.
But they've been really receptive as of late.
Okay.
We're proposing a four-lane roadway without a median in that segment because of the traffic. If you look, traffic today is close to 20,000 vehicles a day. And there are a lot of residential driveways. So we're looking to design a roadway that can carry the traffic today and into the future and at the same time maintain that same level of service people want. North of Alloway Avenue, the traffic drops off to about 12,000 vehicles a day. Then again, we'd look to construct a three-lane roadway. And in places, it could be a two-way left turn lane, a twiddle. If you're trying to envision what a twiddle looks like, Alloway Avenue on Bellevue is a twiddle. But that would, again, add the amenities we want, bike lanes, a safe buffer between pedestrian and motorist. It would allow space for amenities, landscaping, trees, benches. It would also provide a space to store the snow. That's one of the big challenges we have right now, the sidewalk being up along the back of the curb. The county comes out, they plow 2 lanes to the outside, it freezes. We go afterwards, it takes 4 pieces of equipment. It takes a grader to break it up, trackless with a blower to move it. And then with that, you can't get to the bottom. Then you blade it behind it off to get down to the surface. And then you need a spotter truck behind that just to keep traffic a safe distance away from our moving operation. So that's a challenge. Again, this has been a work in progress, Trevor. I think it was a project that when I first got here, we had looked at. We've met multiple times with the county, more than I can count on my hands. We first met with Paul. Paul was pretty rigid. They had a standard, and that's what he wanted to push through this corridor. It was 5 lanes. And it was going to be an expensive project because we were going to have to purchase right away and we were going to have to move utilities. We both had suggested to him, let's narrow the footprint of the roadway. And he was afraid that there would be a lot of pushback from residents and businesses if we did that. That there may be a change in the level of service of that roadway. There may be a little congestion and somebody may get upset. But we feel that what we're proposing will handle the traffic today and into the future. Paul resigned, and then we, beginning last year, Chris Hardy, new highway commissioner, started, and he's been easy to work with, very receptive to this. We need to sit down again with him to find out where he's at. Yesterday I went out to the county fire department, the 6-year capital improvement plan. There has been no change, but I'm sure he's just
he's just trying to get acclimated right now. He didn't have any staff when he started. He lost all of his staff. He's since hired some people, so I'm hopeful that he'll have time to look at this, put some numbers at it. We can do the same, too. We can come up with per-foot cost. That'll be the next step. I can provide a cost for each road segment, with the exception of the DOT, and work to sit down with the DOT, the county, and get a plan.
Oh, go ahead. No, I was going to say, when I look at this, I have my own perspective, but I think through the lens of what I'm going to hear from other people, because the way they resist change and things. And I think what you're proposing, based on the factors that you've talked about and the limitations, cost, that it's a really sensible plan. And I think people underestimate their ability sometimes to adjust to change. I've seen it in De Pere because I work there every day. And what they've done there, and it's a better solution now. Other than a really busy roundabout, George Street and Broadway, there's a lot of traffic there, but it has softened. It just worked, and I don't even think about it every day. There's times where it's slower, but for the most part, I think it's a really good plan, and I think it makes a lot of sense where there's the greatest congestion and how it tapers off, so...
The challenge will be how we make these transitions, how we go from a 4 to a 3. We can work through that. At the north end at Green Bay, and what we're proposing is a 3-lane. At Green Bay, they have 4, but it's a really tight 4-lane. It's maybe the inside lanes are 11, the outside are 10. It really squeezes traffic, and maybe Green Bay will be receptive to a 3-lane right up to the hospital. I know De Pere is... we've talked to them. They support a 3-lane section in the pier. They have the same challenges we have. They're concerned about the safety of the pedestrians. They want bike lanes, and they want an area to store snow.
Just hit where I was headed. One of the things is that I just want to make sure that City of Green Bay, City of De Pere would be comfortable with, the 4 to 2, forget the turn lanes, going from 4 to 2 in between them, when you switch over between municipalities. So they are open to it. That's perfect.
We haven't yet reached out to Green Bay.
Okay.
I've talked to the planning department. They're open to it, but their public works has gone through, I think, a similar transition that the county has, so I don't know.
Okay. And then as we're working with the county, we would probably lean towards the northern third being the first area done just because of TIF money expenditures. Is that correct?
Well, when Chris was here, he kind of laid out the plan.
The way you're talking, we've mm-hmm. always got Project Creek, and if we've got to make sure that we've got the money available to spend, and we plan to allocate it, we might want to lean in that direction. It's going to north one first.
I think there needs to be some engineering that needs to get done just to see how you would, because this project would be done in stages.
Right.
If we're proposing a 3-lane north of Alloway Avenue, the roadway south of that would be 5. So there may be, we'll have to think through that. But to your point, yes, we know there's a deadline. Chris had just off the cuff laid out some years for these projects, and we had just penciled in the south project at 2032, that northern project at 2033, and that middle project at either 2031 or 2034. I would prefer to maybe see that middle section done first. It may help with that transition to that northern segment. The other thing that we've been talking of as of late, we talked about public utilities, but we do have lead services from 172 to Alloway Avenue, and I'm putting together a plan right now to get rid of those ASAP. But if I knew that it still was out, I'm still going to go ahead and remove the lead services. But I think if the county comes back after we meet with them again and said, we really like this plan, we're going to move forward with it, then we really need to, do some engineering to figure out, okay, how do we go about doing this? How do we tackle this? So
I'm sorry. The TIF deadline, I think, is a really good point. But I believe, you know, again, even if you're, the key is to obligate the money before a certain year rather than spend it. So even if the county were to go with something like this, and our last year of expenditure technically is 2033, I think as long as we obligate the funds for that project by that point, we can spend them beyond that.
Okay, perfect. And then the last one, and I know this is just a draft document, but the way this is laid out, we should, once it gets to that point, there should be discussion and explanation to the Alloway Beautification Committee about the median, in essence, with all the time and effort that they put through every year, that, in essence, going away.
So not in its entirety. Only between 172 and Alloway Avenue. The three lane would maintain that existing median.
Okay, I mean, I'm misinterpreting the drawing then. Okay, but we still, I think, any changes like that, we should at least keep them aware, involved, and 100%. Make them understand why the change would be made.
I actually, Matthew, I've actually had a conversation with them already.
Good.
And just a few of them, I think they shared it with the rest of their group. But their overall feeling is actually we would prefer not being in the median gardening. We would prefer being on, you know, being able to access things from the sidewalk and
safer. I'm good with that.
So I'm trying to understand: is the median with the left turn? Are there green segments of that?
Yeah.
Got it. So there's areas where you can make left turns.
Yes. So this is other part of the project. Where we can develop a raised median, we will. But when side roads are stacked up and there's not enough space for a proper turn and storage for a left turn lane, then we're going to run a two-way left turn lane to a point where we can then establish a raised median and have space for proper taper and storage for a left turn lane.
Got it. Well, thank you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, okay, Sean, you know, obviously when communities, counties are putting together these plans, a big part of it is, you know, availability of funds. So we know that, you know, Webster is eligible for certain federal funding bonds. Mm-hmm. Since it's also, and we kind of talked about this briefly in previous meetings, it's also on the national highway system. So it's eligible for NHS funds as well. And those funds are typically dispersed by the state, you know, like the MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization. They're responsible in our urbanized area for allocating various pots of federal funding to various projects. On an NHS project, though, the state typically is responsible for that in coordination with the MPO. So I'm curious if you or the county or collectively, you guys have discussed potentially trying to work with the state to obtain some NHS funds to help this project along because it's eligible for that funding pot as well.
I think we're getting closer. Hoping that I'm not sure what Chris has to do on his end to get this approved. But then after that, we had talked about funding and we had talked about surface transportation block grant funding for these projects. But I'll bring that up. National Highway Safety is the system.
National funding. And my thought, too, is because right now, the STBG, Surface Transportation Block Grant, basically the applications that were sent to the MPO for that funding cover the years out to 2030 and 31.
Okay.
So if this project wasn't a part of that cycle, that application cycle, STBG funds probably won't be available to the MPO until at least 2032.
Yeah, and Chris had mentioned that a lot of his funding is tied up in the South Bridge.
South Bridge connection, right, exactly, and other projects as well. So, plus there are municipal projects that are vying for that funding. So,
and we have two.
Yes, and Alloway has been able to take advantage of that program a lot. So I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, since there's a state element to this project, which is the interchange project, it might be a real good opportunity to collaborate with the state on an NHS project. So, and that might help everyone be able to do things like, you know, obviously minimize the local cost associated with that at the county and municipal levels, but also maybe to accelerate that project. But it might then be based on when the state intends to do something at the interchange.
Yeah, nothing's planned right now, but that is their number one project. Highway 172 is their number one project outside of the South Bridge. It's been on their radar for a while. Traffic on 172 is starting to concern them. Mm-hmm. And they are looking at the capacity of every interchange on 172. And they know that there will be a need for improvements. So they have already started to lay out a few different options for the interchange. You wouldn't give, and I talked to both Tom and Scott, he wouldn't give us a date, but he did say in the 2030s, they'd be looking to reconstruct too. And I know a lot of things said about the prison. It'd be nice, you know, if that were to be decommissioned, we could incorporate the driveways into that project. Someday,
it'd
right?
be nice. Yeah,
someday.
Great. Can I ask, when is the bridge? Then is the state going to pay attention to getting that bridge work done before they come over to 172? Then
the Southern Bridge.
Yeah.
I can address that.
Okay.
So the state's responsibility for the Southern Bridge project, the South Bridge Connector project, really beyond providing funding for certain sections, will basically end this year with the interchange construction at 41. Once that's finished, that's the state work contribution to that project. From that point forward, it's going to be county and its own contractors doing the rest of the project with some state funding involved. Okay. So the state, in terms of workload and everything else, that really wouldn't play into it beyond this year.
Okay.
So, Sean, question. So, since the state controls the NHS funds, and this is going to be a very complex project that can involve, you know, municipalities, the county, the state, and it could be very expensive, do you think it would be worthwhile? Or maybe you already planned this. It sounds like DePere is already wanting to be a partner in this. Yeah. Or DePere, Alloway, and the county to, let's say you all agree on this concept, to collectively then start talking to the state about a joint project in this corridor with the state and maybe pitch the idea of utilizing funds like NHS.
Okay.
Is that something that you think would be reasonable?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We know we have this. We've talked to DePere multiple times. We have their support. The county, again, has been receptive. I think Chris needed some time to... He just started, so he's getting acclimated. We need to reach back out to Chris and sit down with not only the county but with DePere and start those discussions.
The sooner the better, in that even as he's getting acclimated, to make sure that the priority importance of this one for multiple municipalities is understood. So, again, as he becomes acclimated, he goes, okay, this is in my top three.
Mm-hmm. And I would think, too, you know, let's say you're trying to pursue NHS funds. Working with the state on that, they're going to want, you know, X number of years lead time to be able to incorporate that into their road. And if nothing else, pitching that to the state, let's say, sooner than later, would at least allow you to gauge their interest in working with you to utilize those funds. And if they're not, then perhaps you could, you know, in the short term, come up with another funding strategy.
Can you use both POTS, SDBG, and National Highway System funds, or is it just
typically can't match federal with federal.
Okay.
But again, the state received, through formula grants, the state receives a lot of NHS funds every year.
Would that, I think you mentioned, that would have to go through the MPO, or
would
that?
Would not.
It would not. Okay.
It would be in the TIP.
Okay.
But the MPO wouldn't necessarily approve that directly. The NHS funds are typically controlled by the state.
Okay.
And they have to kind of coordinate with the MPO, but they don't necessarily have to have the approval other than including it in the TIP.
So I think it sounds like one of the first steps that needs to happen is we need county concurrence, and then we need to move to get this in the TIP. And it may be, I don't know that it's in the TIP. It's on the county's radar. It's currently in their six-year CIP, but it's not being represented correctly. It's Paul's design.
Correct. Yeah, so I would yes, definitely worth the county, get county concurrence, get that modified in the county CIP.
And then get it in the TIF?
Well, it won't be in the TIF unless there's federal funding committed to it.
Okay.
So what I would do then next is I would, you know, collectively, again, Alloway, county, city of De Pere, approach the state with the proposal.
Okay.
And offer to work with them, and then maybe propose, among other things, that, you know, everyone work together and a possible source of funding for that, not just for the state portion by the interchange, but for the whole corridor, since it's eligible, could be NHS,
okay,
which could then fund up to 80%.
Who at the state?
Well,
who do I start with?
Who have you been talking to?
The director.
The director. Tom?
Yeah.
I talked to Tom.
Okay.
And he can guide you out with them. That's what I would do. And again, the state initially might say, well, maybe, but I mean, the sooner I think those talks start,
okay,
the sooner you can, you know, determine if that's an option for you, and maybe make the case to make it an option. And with the more lead time you give the state, the more time they'll have to be able to fit an NHS project here into the program, I would think. So if you're shooting for an early 2030 reconstruction, I think the now...
We need to go now.
Right, right. So I think the time to start talking about those options is now.
Yeah,
because again, if they ultimately just say absolutely not, that'll provide you additional time then to look at other options.
The minimum lead time ahead of construction to do the engineering real estate acquisition, it's a 3 to 4 year process. So,
correct.
Or 26, it's
yeah.
Go time.
And honestly, what you're showing here, I think, would be a really good fit with GBCI redevelopment project. I mean, I think that would work well. And frankly, you know, if you're looking for a transition point at Broadview, you know, hypothetically, obviously, you're going to put together a hearing development plan for GBCI mm-hmm. if that happens. But, you know, a potential street tie-in point, major street tie-in point from GBCI could be at Broadview. And you could create a four-leg intersection there with an efficient traffic control, you know, let's say a roundabout, hypothetically, where you could do a lane transition.
We have, and we have identified a roundabout on this project at Hoffman, but you know, it could be more. And I guess one of the options that the DOT had shown me had included roundabouts. Was one of three.
Yeah. Were they also thinking about a diverging diamond?
Yes, they were.
So, do you guys know what a diverging diamond interchange is?
Oh, diverging diamond at 172?
Just as an option. They had three options. One would be to match the existing configuration. Two would be roundabouts. Three would be the diverging diamond.
I kind of thought, well, from a space standpoint, if GBCI stays, that might be a better option from a space standpoint than roundabouts, as much as I hate to say that. And that's why I thought if the state were going to look at an interchange for a diverging diamond somewhere here, considering it's an overpass, space constraint, left turn stacking, going, you know, especially northbound to west, that might be one of their candidates, potentially.
That's it. You said if GBCI stays as a correctional?
As a prison. I thought because there's such a space constraint at those south ramp terminals.
Yeah.
That might be an option, especially considering the left turn stacking issue going northbound on Webster, especially in the morning. Because that's the one thing a diverging diamond is really supposed to address is left turning conflicts.
But if we're saying GBCI is to redevelop, you might want
That would make roundabouts at that location, I think, more viable.
Makes sense. Especially if, you know, you're talking about I would imagine if you're talking about a potential roundabout then at Broadview to connect into the GBCI development.
Correct.
Then you're not having stacking and up to another light.
Correct.
Right?
But that's a good point, because one of the things you don't want to do in a corridor is you don't want to have like roundabouts and signals alternating.
Yeah.
And you can see the impact of that in various locations around here, like on GB and Bellevue, where you have lights at Lime Kiln and you have lights at the interchange.
Oh yeah.
And a roundabout over at Costco.
And it's
and what happens is the roundabout is so efficient, you had these platoons coming in, and then you know, and then the roundabout just circulates them really quickly, and then there's a red cycle, and you just over time get back up, back up, back up, back up. You can see it on Broadway and DePere too, at Merrill, just south of the roundabout at the bridge, especially on school days. That's where you get these stacks and platoons coming through. And so, yeah, you'd want a consistent corridor, I think, like that. And I think if GBCI went away, that would make roundabouts at the interchange much more viable.
Trevor, are any of the walls as part of GBCI considered historical?
Yes. But
exterior walls?
Yes. So we've had a, now it's two historic directors ago, conversation about that. And they said, as long as with the walls, as long as you can leave some portions intact so you know where the perimeter of the wall was.
Okay.
So you might be able to bust through, you know, certain sections. I've actually considered a roundabout at Broadview before, and maybe you would shift that intersection a little bit north, so you're north of that guard tower on the other leg, so that guard tower would stay, and then that middle section could go. So you see the where the wall was.
Use the guard tower as a starting point for the zip line. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's now we have, as of late last year, we have a new director of Wisconsin Historical Society. So I've reached out to her. They're on travel restrictions. So she said, anytime I'm in Madison, I can visit her. So.
And speaking of staff, I guess another reason I would suggest maybe trying to move on Webster collectively sooner than later, aside from schedule and everything else, is, like you said, you have a highway commissioner right now who is open to alternative designs. I don't anticipate Chris leaving anytime soon, but, you know, I think it's important to strike while the iron's hot and work with somebody who is willing to work with you on a design that the village really wants and get that in place so if he were to leave and be replaced by somebody who may be more like his predecessor, might be a little less flexible in those terms, at least you'll have a plan in place, and it might be too late for that person to change. Okay.
Massive project.
I can tell that a lot of planning has gone into that. Wow.
In your experience, is the state DOT flexible to work within like a preferred option of the local municipality?
As long as the project within their defined limits match what they want. And I think Sean's plan does that. I think they're going to want to see what he's showing here, whether it's the roundabouts or diverging diamond or anything like that. And their project limits, I would guess, would be basically from Green to Broadview. That's my guess. Yeah. So I think what you're showing here is going to be probably very acceptable to the state. Outside of that, as long as you can have like an efficient and safe tie-in to their project from both directions, my experience is that they would be very open to working with you. And again, the NHS aspect of it isn't necessarily just tied to the state project. Webster, you know, pretty much all the way through the village is on the NHS. So the entire project, state or not, would be technically eligible for that funding source. It's just a matter of getting the state to agree and getting the state to work with you to set aside some of that funding for the project.
Just off the cuff, I think the roundabout option really suits this design well because it offers you that transition. Those transition points at the south,
exactly.
You roll 3 into 5, and then north, if you're only rolling, you're only going from a 5 to a 4, that's an easier transition. So,
I agree. I believe me, the roundabout aspect of it is to me, I would much prefer that. But again, I was just saying that with this interchange, if there were any interchange in the county, the state, I thought, might be tempted to do a diverging diamond. I thought it might be that one, especially if GBCI stays in place. But again, I would much prefer a roundabout corridor for many reasons, especially, you know, things like pedestrian accessibility, too, because, you know, interchanges, the diverging diamond interchanges are signalized. They still have a lot of lanes. Pedestrians, I think, are accommodated typically, but they're sort of secondary. Roundabouts, on the other hand, can be much safer and more efficient for that. So I would much prefer a roundabout corridor, personally. Okay. Is there anything that this group can do to assist you?
I'm going to start making some phone calls. And if you want to participate in those meetings, you're more than welcome to.
If you'd like me to.
Yeah, great.
Who would?
All in favor?
Well, I mean, if you would like me to, just let me know. And, okay. And I would be happy to do that.
That's one of the questions I was going to ask. I know in federal funding, I get these solicitations from firms out of D.C. that if you're going for federal funds on a project, that they're able to help mm-hmm. shepherd something like that through. And I'm just thinking through this. In your experience, are there any local consultants that have sway with the state, you know, besides,
well,
Halloway, De Pere, and the county, you know, forming a consortium trying to urge them to support the NHS funds?
I don't know about that specifically. I mean, I know that Sean has a lot of experience in dealing with federal funding programs for highway projects. Like you said, I mean, you've done SDBG program projects, you've done transportation alternatives program projects. I mean, you know the federal funding pots, you know how to do it. In terms of advocacy, I mean, I guess what I would probably do if, you know, you're looking for someone to try to encourage the state to unlock that funding source, I would probably start talking to our local state legislators and get them to, you know, encourage the state to work with us.
Okay, that's helpful. Then my other question would be, there was an article yesterday in the local newspaper, but a state article with Governor Evers, known as last year in office, urging the Republicans to partner with them on getting GBCI closed. And you know, there's a lot of, everybody knows there's a lot of politics involved with that. It's been talked about for a decade. But my thought process do you think we would have any success pushing forward with road improvements prior to them making a decision? Because it's going to be several years. You know, they talk about 2029. Mm-hmm. No way in the world that facility is going to be closed in 2029 when you got all of these other pieces in Waupun and several other state facilities that would have to be, you know, expanded upon before the capacity is there mm-hmm. To allow these prisoners to go somewhere else. But I'm just wondering about the infrastructure, pushing, when at least both parties are saying, yes, it needs to close. Well, if they agree to that, but not the method for it to close, can we move forward with, whether it's roundabouts or a double diverging diamond, planning to for the road infrastructure that it's going to be decommissioned at some point?
Yeah, I think you need to, and I think what you would typically do in a situation like that is you would go forward with a project you know you need to do. What I would do then is basically, you can, you know, in terms of the planning phase, design phase, you can plan and design for the possible or probable, you know, project that might come later. So, for instance, if you do a design for Webster at this point and you don't know if GBCI is going to close, but you think it might, what you could do is if you're doing an ADP, for instance, you can, you know, you could design a tie-in at Broadview. That could be, you can show the state, for instance, this is going to be our primary connection to Webster from this development if it occurs. You could design that in there and basically have a project that would be designed to accommodate that tie-in if GBCI closes and redevelops. I mean, it's kind of like if you've ever been down to, you know, you'll see this in various locations, like for the Southbridge Connector project. If you've ever been down on GB at Heritage Road or that roundabout, it's kind of a T intersection down there in Ledgeview. That was built with the assumption that the Southern Bridge, the South Bridge connector, will tie into it in the future. So it's a T intersection now, but in the future it can be, it can accommodate that additional road connection. You would typically do something like that for a project like this, especially if the timing's not right. So if that project in GBCI does happen, you will have an opportunity then to tie into, and you would design your road and your road sections to be able to accommodate whatever traffic that might generate. And what I think he's showing here does do that. And so the state would probably ask, all right, basically, yes, Alloway is largely developed, and we don't anticipate a huge traffic increase. However, there's a possibility that a big traffic generator will be located here. How do you intend to accommodate that? And you can go through that and say, we intend to accommodate it this way. Tie in here, capacity here, and our project that we're doing right now can accommodate both.
Anticipate questions.
Anticipate questions, but also anticipate change. And I think what you show here does. But it's important that you have to make that really clear to the state and perhaps others. But again, that ADP that you put together eventually will help illustrate that.
What is that ADP? Area Development Plan?
Okay. And that's what I was wondering. What does that look like?
I'm sorry.
That anticipates corridor and capacity on a plan like this?
Well, typically what you would do is, you know, if you're trying to, you would do maybe what's called a traffic impact analysis.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody's coming in with like a Costco or a really big development along the corridor, before like the county or the village might allow someone to put a driveway or a street access to this thing, they would insist on what's called a traffic impact analysis or a TIA, where they would go in there and really do a hardcore estimate as to how much traffic that's going to generate per hour, per day, et cetera, and what that will do to, you know, the capacity on the adjacent roadway. And what they'll typically do then is if they allow you to tie in, you have to pay for then design or maybe modifications to an intersection to accommodate that additional traffic.
So there's some infrastructure that would anticipate a change at some point that you kind of programmed in.
Correct. So what you would do on Webster is if you anticipate GBCI redeveloping, and you know, you would come up with kind of a general estimate as to how much traffic that might generate, and then you would design Webster now to accommodate that generation.
Got it. Okay.
And then also, like I said, you would also identify tie-in points
and
things like that. And frankly, I think the state, if GBCI's tie-in point to Webster is Broadview, I would think they would, and you're creating a four-lane intersection at that point with a really efficient, safe traffic control device and the capacity to accommodate it, I think they'd look at that and go, that makes perfect sense.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Was it based on that concept that Mobile Art put together, was there any work done to, as far as estimating traffic generation from that potential design?
No. But there's, you know, there's different standards for different uses that you can apply. I think we could relook at that site too, because I think that was real light development, and I don't know if we would lead with a lighter development model or if we would tend to skew towards a more heavier development model. I don't know. You have a suggestion there, Cole? I mean, probably.
Well, what I forget, what year was the concept plan developed?
Around 2018.
Do you think in the next year or so, year or two would be time, if it really looks like that's going to be decommissioned? And we have talked in the past about, you know, one of the things the village might be looking at doing is like an area development plan to kind of prepare for that. Would that be the time at which the village might want to refresh that concept plan and maybe refine it to look a little more closely at some of the potential uses in there, what you might want to see? Because again, whatever you estimate, it's not going to match it.
Yeah.
It's just an estimate, but I mean, the state might want to see, are you looking at putting, you know, three Costco's in there? Are you looking at putting in kind of like neighborhood development, you know, kind of neighborhood commercial, lighter development that might generate less traffic in it?
Percentage residential, so on and so forth.
Right. Is it going to be a combination of residential, neighborhood commercial? Is it going to be institutional? I think that, you know, if you could refresh that at some point in the near future to maybe refine it to kind of show more, a little more detail, I think that might help with the design project here at Webster, and also maybe show the state, you know, what the impact might be.
Okay.
So something to think about.
Yeah.
But if you want to, in the next year or two, refresh that. In conjunction maybe with an ADP.
Yeah, and that would, just because we're being recorded, that still wouldn't be the plan that we're necessarily going with. It would just be, you know, more refined.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and again, I think just getting an idea as to the intensity of the development in there.
Yeah.
You know, big box versus residential and some neighborhood commercial, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and I think at the time that was developed, you know, I'm just thinking about, like, even our zoning code, we're real reluctant to even move to, like, a five-story buildings along Webster. But so I think all the concepts in there are three stories, and I don't know, maybe that's still the reality, but, yeah. Okay.
So, any other questions, comments about Webster?
I'm sure there'll be time.
Not today.
Not today. All right. Well, thanks, Sean.
Yeah, appreciate thank you very
time.
Much.
Thank, yes. Appreciate your work on this. It's very exciting, and personally, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. All right.
If I can make a suggestion on the next item, since
yeah.
we're missing three members of the group.
Yes.
And how this revolving loan fund might be utilized by the group, it might make sense to wait till the next meeting to talk about that topic.
Okay.
And throw that out there as an idea.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we have a suggestion to postpone item number 7 until the next meeting. Do we have a motion to amend our agenda to do that?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, ayes have it. Yep, that's a good idea. We can talk about this next time. Sounds good. All right. So, speaking of next meeting date, item 8, when is our next meeting date?
February 5th.
February 5th. All right, February 5th is at 8 o'clock. Okay. Any future agenda items beyond number 7?
Thanks, Sean.
Anything at this point that you want to add to the agenda for the next meeting?
All right. So we'll do the revolving loan fund. Mm-hmm. I personally think it would be helpful, and I guess I don't know how many meetings we've had, but I think relatively soon, you know, perhaps have a project or sort of narrow in on what our intentions will be for sort of the next, I don't know, 6 to 12 months of, you know, doing something or, you know, like sort of deciding what we're going to do and then doing it, and sort of the next meeting is a report on the work that's been done versus continuing to sort of get reports and get up to speed. I think it'd be nice to discuss, you know, sort of how we're going to prioritize what we do in the meetings. And so I don't know if it's time for that yet, right? But, you know, if Webster Avenue is going to be a focus or, you know, priority for us, then I think, you know, we decide that, and then we have maybe another thing that's the thing that we're trying to accomplish versus, mm-hmm. yeah, I love learning all of this, but I also think we got to, you know, do something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Good point.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I think that's a really good suggestion. I mean, for the next meeting, can you maybe think through and maybe propose some things that we could kind of focus on in terms of redevelopment and projects? Beyond Webster?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
Sounds good. Okay. Anything else? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move that. We adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Sometimes I wish I could distill all that. I'm not good at it in a way that you can.